Memorial Day. Right off the bat. Growing up, this may be short. Memorial Day was always very important. Thank you. I knew it was going to happen. Just, I remember the parade every year. I don't know how old I was, probably infants when we would go to the parades. And it's the one time, or one of the few times, I would see my dad emotional. Because he was one of those guys. So, yes, it was good that we played that. When I was asked to give, so I'm the guest speaker, it says right here. If I wouldn't have known that picture, I would have wore a different shirt. This is my Memorial Day shirt. It has the old airplanes and battleships and whatever on this shirt. So when I was praying and looking at this, I said, there's three different messages that I can give today. Memorial Day, of course, is one, which is why we started with that. Pentecost, extremely important. And then the third one, something God has been sharing with me for months and months and months. So when it was, I don't know when this was, Joel set this up, the beginning of the year, right away God said, okay, that's what I want you to share. So, this could either be really long or really, no, I'm kidding. So, the Memorial Day, yeah, as a nation, is extremely important. Somebody said, if you forget the past, you're doomed to repeat it. Amen. Now, as Dave said, Memorial Day, as a Christian, we don't want to forget what Christ did. And unfortunately, that's happening all over the place. And so the first part of this is kind of negative, but it's real. I don't like it, but this is right from the very beginning. Garden of Eden, Satan, the evil one, has been worming his way in between God and man. You all know the story, the whatever tree, the tree of life. Since then, and this is all according to Google, without Google, I don't know where we'd be, encyclopedias, I guess. Yep. But according, there's approximately 52 countries where the Bible's banned. Now that, I don't know how accurate that is. This is, I just got this stuff this week. Back in 62, prayer was stopped in public schools. Approximately 04, our courts ordered the removal of the Ten Commandments. Approximately 139 companies are anti-God. Excuse me, I'm sniffling too much here. ready to go again. Here was an interesting little tidbit. Approximately 63% of the populace of the U.S. claim they're Christians. Now, it doesn't say what parameters they use. This is just a stat that they used. And there's all kinds of other things that I could have got. Any time you want to throw on the news, give yourself 5-10 minutes, you're going to see all kinds of decay of morality. Wherever, from coast to coast, worldwide. So what do we do? Is Satan winning?
No.
Do we ignore it? Is God still in control?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to look at some scriptures of people being driven to Jesus. And I'm not talking with a car. Okay, so the first one, and I'm very old school. I know Joel has his laptop, and I don't know if you can see it. These are all my little book notes there for scriptures. I should have made them a little bigger, but so the first one, and these are common, yeah, you will get these. Matthew 14, verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. You ever really think about that? First of all, they were saying, and I didn't read forward, is that a ghost? Is that a spirit? Who, what, where is this image? And they hear this voice. And Peter, being the outspoken one of the group, okay, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come. He knew his voice. But just think for a second, if it was the deceiver, get out of the boat, right down. But he didn't. He knew his voice. He trusted. And he walked on water. Until he took his eyes off Jesus. Then what happened? He sank. We take our eyes off Jesus today. Yeah, I'm not walking on water. None of us are walking on water, but same reaction, right? Okay. Second scripture. Same guy. He's pretty persistent here. This is John 21, verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. This guy didn't really like boats, did he? I mean, it doesn't say how deep they were. But he said, Jesus, I got to be there. I want to be the first one to Jesus. So he jumps out. I guess he knew how to swim or whatever. He wanted to get there. That was his drive to get to Jesus. Third one is based on Luke 8, verse 43, and we're actually going to have another clip of this. This is from the series The Chosen. So So I'm going to step aside. You might want to mute me again here.
One thread. Just the fringe. One touch. One thread. One thread. Just the edge. Only a thread.
You! I know you! Get away from him!
Stop it, please!
Rabbi Yusuf! Rabbi Yusuf!
This woman bleeds. She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, please, I have a promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now.
Sorry. Try tomorrow.
No, oh, please, just a moment. Just scarf.
What's on? Who touched me?
Everybody back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know. But it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Yeah, I don't really need it. I'm loud. Linda and I watched that series, and I remembered that clip. So as things were coming together, I asked Bob if he could get that, and he's been very helpful, and Linda sometimes too. So. But the thing about that clip, that the woman, and I don't know if it even says her name, she had absolutely no other place to go. In the series, it tells more, this has been a 12-year illness. She spent all the money that she had. Constant outcast, So it was something she had zero choice. When she heard about Jesus, she knew she had to get to him. Now, I've been in crowds. I've never tried to fight my way to touch somebody or whatever. But it's something that you got a little glimpse of how she was fighting her way, weaving just for a little touch. Because her faith told her she had to. Can you mute this again? Somebody said, just be myself. This is me. Okay. So, we had Peter jumping out of the boat twice. This woman with this illness literally fighting through crowds after she was rebuked for even trying to get to Jesus because she had an illness. So now what do we do? How do we start reclaiming this lost ground? How do we get our drive back that we're fighting like they did, jumping out of the boat to be the first, fighting through the crowds? I'm going to start looking at some other scriptures. First one is actually my favorite verse, and I struggle with probably more than anything else. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Oh, somebody knows it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust. I admittedly, that's the biggest problem I have. Second one, or actually this is scripture 5 if you're counting them all. This will be in my highly technical system here. You made a comment to me months and months after I shared. I think you said something, I like the way you're so real up here, or something like that. Yeah. This is me. Where am I? Oh, yeah. Philip. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Put it into practice. Anybody play sports? I mean, in your lifetime. I know Charlie, you're a hunter, whatever. I don't care what sport, pick it out. You practice, don't you? But what do you do then? You go into the game. If you try to hit a ball and never go in the game, your practice is wasted. You put it into practice. Now we come to Romans 8. I'm sorry, I'm sniffling again. So that. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So he's working in every one of us for his purpose. It's there. He's working in us because he loves us. One other one. I'm going to go to Psalms now. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you, excuse me, and watch over you. So we had trust, put it into practice, all things for his purpose who loves us, and he's going to instruct us and watch over us. Now we come to the other part of the message. Let's see it now. It's Pentecost. We have all those directions already given to us. So we're going to go to Acts 2. And, excuse me, can you mute this again? I don't want to be rude with my sniffling. Thank you, Bob, Linda, whoever. Okay. Acts chapter 2, 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I looked at this and in my notes, I said, this is the second best gift that God, Jesus, Holy Spirit gave us. First, of course, is salvation. Second, he gave us the Comforter who indwells in us. He's here. Oh, sorry. He's in all of you as long as you allow him. He guides us. He lives in us. He loves us. He takes care of us. In every and anything, whatever you may be doing, he's going to direct you in it if you allow him. So this is something, okay, Melissa. A recap of this. We have first the evil one trying to take over. And if you look at things, it looks like he's winning. But as Joel said, it's not over because good always wins. And you don't know how long that is, only God does. Then you have your drive. How driven are you? How driven am I to get back to Jesus, to put into practice the trust, to put into practice his word, all things his purpose, who loves us, who instructs us, and watches over us. And with all of that, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. constantly with us 24/7 for whatever number of years we're here on this earth. And then forever after that. My Bible says he will never leave us. So he's here for eternity. So as we enter this last song, just think through this, that what God may be speaking to you about.